This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
So I got my girl, Miss Taylor Stanford, one of my first friends when I moved here to Nashville.
Yes, we go way back.
We are Broadway survivors.
We survived. I cannot believe it's been like that long either since you and I were both there. It feels like yesterday.
Yeah, because I got here about 6 years ago.
Yeah, same.
So you were what? You were 2018?
Yeah, 2018 I moved here. So we both helped open Whiskey Row together.
Which is crazy. And now we both get to be on the media side of country music and doing what we're doing, which is pretty wild when you think about
it. It's so great. And I'm so like proud of you and just seeing the evolution of everything that you've built. Like you had a mission when you came to town. I know you used to work in radio, but you've always just been so passionate about this. And so to see what you've built and what you guys have grown into, I love it.
I appreciate that. I'm proud of you, sis.
Thank you. You're
running Nashville's hottest new radio station.
Y'all 106.7, baby.
And it's cool because it's a throwback station in the sense that you guys have new artists on as well. And I see all the interviews and all the content that you and the team are pushing over there, but it's a throwback to like the golden age of country, the 80s, 90s, 2000s. Mm-hmm. Like you get to play the songs that you grew up on and that you love so much.
Oh, I'm obsessed with it. That's like why I wanted this job, was because of specifically the music that we play. It's the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, like you said. Yeah. It's what we grew up on. And we're getting like a lot of good feedback because it's the music that we grew up listening to. But then you also have people that are like our parents' age that are obviously listening to the station. Yeah. And so just interviewing the guests that I've gotten to talk to, it's been incredible.
Yes, yeah, so how does Taylor go from working in the hospitality industry to working as the main face of Y'all 106.7? Yeah. Like, walk me through how that all happened.
Well, I'd never worked in radio before. Yeah. I had a background in TV because I went to school for journalism and so some digital media stuff, but never in radio. And when I saw that they were hiring for this job, I just shot my shot. They wanted an air check, you know, which is like an audio file of your resume, basically. And I didn't have that, but what I did have was video montage of all the on-camera interviews that I had done. So I just shot my shot and I sent it and I was like, this is what I have. This is what I have to offer. And it worked. So First off, I always encourage people to just go for it because you never know what could happen. But it was a hard transition. I think we talked a little bit about that when I saw you at Pig Fest.
Shout out Andy Gilly, Pig Fest.
We co-hosted. That was so fun. Yeah, but it was really hard because, you know, the hospitality money, it's so good. Obviously, the money downtown is incredible. And then you get comfortable. I was there for almost 6 years, and I was very comfortable there. And I just knew that I had to make a change and something that really fueled my heart and my passion. And I was like, now is the time. Because I feel like if you're not growing, you know, you're not changing, it's really good to step outside of your comfort zone sometimes. And I just was like, what do I want my life to look like in 10 years from now? And I'm like, I need to make sure that I'm making conscious decisions that support that vision. And so that's what I did, and here we are.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and I'd say you're definitely killing it. You just seem so happy with making that jump.
I am happy. That's the best way to put it. I feel very fulfilled talking to these people. And then they inspire me as well as a songwriter because I'm talking to some of the people that I have respected my whole life, and to hear their take on the industry and to hear their advice, it's really, really inspiring. And with any big life change, it's obviously a culture shock at first, but it was 100% the best decision for me. And a lot of prayer went into that, you know, but it's been great.
Yeah, and obviously we can tell by your accent you grew up down here.
Mississippi.
So Mississippi. I forget, are we Hail State or are we Hottie Toddy?
I'm either one. I'm indifferent. So I say Southern Miss, Brett Favre, Jimmy Buffett.
Okay, that's Southern Miss girl.
Yes,
all right.
That's where I went home with Jimmy Buffett.
Golden Eagles. I like Hattiesburg. I used to go down there. I'd been down there with Trey a couple times, and obviously with the Muscadine guys.
Brewskies, going
to Brewskies with the Muscadine guys with Gary Stanton's history with Hattiesburg was a lot of fun.
That might have been one of my first interviews was Gary and Charlie at Brewskies.
Wow.
Yeah.
And was that like a college station?
I was doing like freelance publication stuff. Oh. So I was just covering it for different people. But Gary and I actually went to college together.
We had some
of the same creative thing. So it's crazy to see that he still got his degree after he's like literally opening for Post Malone, you know, at Bridgestone now.
Yeah, and I remember him talking about it like he got the business degree, but I didn't realize, like, a lot of people don't know this. He came up, like, his band back in the day in Hattiesburg was like a rock band.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's great, but I love him and Charlie and the music that they're making. But Southern Miss, back to that really quick, though. I was going to Ole Miss, Hottie Toddy, so I was going to go there. Changed my mind last second for a dude. Ended up going to Southern Miss. I got accepted to Ole Miss, and then I ended up going to Southern. But everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, and Oxford and Hattiesburg, very different places.
Very different. Very, very different. I root for any SEC team. Okay. But, yeah,
that's a good way to be.
Yeah,
because you do have so many schools in there, and Hattiesburg's cool because you get the coastal vibe. To
absolutely,
it. Biloxi's not too far away.
I used to work in Biloxi, so that's where my TV station was.
Oh, really?
And then I worked for the Golden Nugget Casino.
Nice.
So I grew up around the water. Absolutely love Biloxi, but I recently got into sports betting, so I've been betting on all the teams, and I'm learning that you cannot bet on teams that you're like a fan of because it hurts.
Yeah,
I was betting on the Saints. Hurts when they lost. You know, I'm betting on Ole Miss. It hurts. So I'm like, I need to take my emotion out of this betting. But when you win, it's very fun.
Oh, it's very fun. Yeah, my girlfriend's into the sports betting. And I started getting, I was into it, and then I wasn't into it because it's like when you're on the road, you're not able to watch the games a whole lot.
Yeah.
And it's like you're just throwing bets to the wind. And it makes it fun. What I hit on one like a month ago, and it's fun. Like if you have like YouTube TV or one of those like streaming services, you can put like four games on at once.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just bet the quad box, and I don't care what game it is, but if there's four of them, I'm like, I'll throw a little
I'm
bit.
I'm hitting it.
I'll parlay it together, and we'll see what happens. What have you hit on recently?
Gosh, I bet this crazy bet, and I did not win. I haven't been winning recently. I've been listening to my boyfriend, and I'm going to stop doing that because I'm like, I think I should do this, and then he'll try to put his logic in it, like, maybe you should do this, and I'm like, nah. So I started off strong winning, but this lately I have not. Also, yeah. I bet on the Tyson fight, lost that, put my money on Tyson.
I bet on that too, and they just took our money.
Yeah.
They just took our money with that shit. I had my buddy Joe was in town from New York, and you couldn't bet on that fight in New York. So all of his buddies were Venmoing him, and his Venmo, his DraftKings account had like a lot of money in it, and everybody was betting on Tyson. It was like, holy shit. He bet on a draw, which didn't hit either, but
it was kind of sad, honestly. It was heartbreaking.
It was. The fights before it were awesome.
Yeah, it was good.
And UFC was a lot of fun the next night and everything. But so for you, so you had done interviews before. What's the difference between doing it for on video versus in the studio and doing the radio thing? Do you feel like, do you prefer one more than the other? Or all your interviews on Y'all are taped as well on
They're
video,
taped,
right?
Yeah. Which this is my first time being on this side of the mic. So this is different.
Right?
This
isn't
is different
it,
for me. It's
isn't
weird.
It such a different
I've never been interviewed before, so it's weird.
Well, I'm happy to be the first one to do it.
Yeah, you are my first. No, I feel like almost video is a little bit easier because you can get like, I don't know. When you're doing just audio, you focus so much more on what you're saying.
Yeah.
But video, I feel like you're kind of in the moment. You feel like video might be harder, but you come from radio. So I don't know. What do you say?
Yeah, it's like with audio, like when I was doing radio, it was so much of it was the prep.
Mm-hmm.
So much of it was the prep. When it's like the video thing, you can talk about kind of what's going on around you, mm-hmm. you know, or like you get... When you're doing the video, because people can see that visual.
Yeah.
So there's more things to talk about. Like I remember I did one with Wallen years ago up in Jersey when he was like short hair. First time with short hair on tour with FGL. And he was like wearing an FGL jersey. So I like tugged at the jersey. I was like, what's up with this FGL jersey? You know, like if you're doing that on audio, it's a little bit different because people aren't seeing that visual.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. And you touched on it about you interviewed Morgan. I feel like working on Broadway or just being in this circle, like we've also been able to see so many people come up, which is a really cool thing about what we get to do too.
Yeah. You know? Oh yeah. No. And it's you like thinking back to just to some of the house bands were at Whiskey, like the Tiger Lily Girls. Like I remember when Jacob Lutz first came to town and he was doing his thing and he started out as a sound guy and then he was out on the road doing his thing. And it is cool. There's like I don't go downtown like I used to.
Gosh,
it's like you spend so much time down there on the industry side. It's like you just don't want to.
It's almost PTSD a little bit.
It is, right? and we were doing it on different sides. You were on the management side. You were bartending a bit. Mm-hmm. You were helping out with all the crazy robust events that were going on at Whiskey Row.
Yeah.
And up until recently. And it's like they still have just a ton of events. And Whiskey is an interesting place because it's like obviously you have the live music part. But it was one of the first bars that was like the catalyst of, okay, we're going to bring a DJ in. We're going to have tables. We're going to have bottles. We're going to have bottle girls. Like, different vibe.
They were like the trendsetters, truly. And I still have so much just love and respect for Whiskey Row because they were the first. You know, the bottle service, like you said, the DJ, that really kind of like Vegas atmosphere, they were the first ones to bring that around, their originality. And it is a great run place, but we had some fun. I remember you would like do some podcasts in the green room and stuff, me too.
That
like,
was the first round that happened there. And rounds were tough there, and I love seeing the ward is succeeding with Whiskey Jam in there. The full band thing is definitely a little bit easier to have in there. But rounds, it was tough because you're doing it on a club level where people are used to partying, you know, and it's a round is a little bit more of a different thing. So I remember people holding up the quiet signs like you're on a golf course or something.
Chase Irwin telling everybody to be quiet. Yeah.
Which I do that occasionally now over at Duck Blind when we're doing our things, but I do it in like a little bit of like a different, more like on brand way for me. But yeah, doing those interviews up in the green room, like was really cool to like watch the original music thing go downtown. And that was March of 19, I want to say.
Yeah, we were pretty much the first. They weren't really doing rounds downtown, you know, or like original live music. It was all covers. And then we did that for several years. Yeah. And then now I feel like a lot of people are doing it, which is great.
Yeah.
But we were the first.
Yeah. And what was cool about that too was having people that were in the Whiskey Row family playing. Like I remember Ethan Willis.
Yeah.
Dave Hangley, who's the guy that convinced me to move down here, who's now on the road with John Morgan, and like, and Jacob, and Skylar Anderson, and people that were like Whiskey Row family, getting to play in those first couple rounds was a really cool, like, full circle thing. And it's just the family that you have. I worked at Dogwood for a little bit after that, but I had never worked in like hospitality or worked in a bar. I'd never bounced. I told Benny I did to get the job, but
how many fake IDs did you cop in the day?
Oh God. We had a book. I don't think you guys knew about the book. We had a book. And because I was living with Dakota Tate and Ethan Willis.
Gosh, Dakota.
And Tyler Lessard and all of those guys. And we would take the IDs and we'd alphabetize them by state. And we had a binder just full of them. Mm-hmm. Like we would get double digits a day. Because I was a day shift guy. So I explained to people like day shift is like, it's as much customer service. It's more so customer service than bouncing because the daytime crowd is just a little bit different. Like we're helping the girls with bussing the tables, all the servers. Yeah. And we're getting everything kind of set up for the night guys to come in and do their thing. So it was like, it was different being on the day shift and getting IDs like spring break, I remember was crazy.
Y'all were like the backbone of the whole establishment though. I mean, like literally, even when like bands would come in and like CMA Fest, we did all that crazy stuff. Y'all had to like clear out 250 fans.
Of course, a couple moments stand out. I've obviously had my war stories, like when I was out there with Taz and those guys and Jamie and James and AJ and all those guys.
What's the worst story? Tell me one.
I mean, the CMA Fest was a lot, especially that was the last CMA Fest before COVID. And I feel like it's back now. It's come back over the last few years. We were doing those remotes with Ty Bentley and those guys.
Yeah.
They were doing them early morning.
It was like 4 or 5 a.m.
I remember getting off work and I remember sleeping in my car for like 2 hours maybe. Or maybe I think I just stayed on site because I worked that night. And then I worked that next morning. They just kept some of the night guys there. And I ended up working the rest of that day. And I was on the second floor by myself.
Wow.
CMA Fest for like 6-7 hours, you know? And luckily nothing happened, but it was a lot.
Which looking back sounds horrible, but in it was incredible.
Yeah, it was so like cool. I moved down here just wanting to be in the industry.
Yeah.
And even watching the cover bands just gave me so much life. Mm-hmm. Like watching these guys and these girls, like the Shayna G's, the Chris Schraders, the Henry Martins, the Shackleford Lane. Those are buddies in Alabama. What were they called? There was another group with like Andrew Velendez and Sean and all those guys. Like the weeknight guys, Chris Bollard, all those dudes. And just watching them, I thought they were the biggest fucking stars. And they were. They worked very hard and did their thing. But just to be around that energy, it just excites you. Like the walk from the library parking garage or the CMT building when we had the parking stickers. Yeah. It just excited me because you just walk down, you just hear the music and just this energy. And there's nothing like Lower Broadway. The NFL draft was a lot too.
Oh, that was crazy.
NFL draft was crazy. And for you on the event side, you had to coordinate a lot.
I need to like write down. And someone told me this a long time ago. They were like, you need to like write down all the cool stuff that you've gotten to do, like the NFL draft or like, you know, one time Ashley McBride played there and we smoked a cigarette in the back alley.
Oh, yeah.
Like just random, like, cool things that happen like that. We really got to do so much stuff. I need to like take time and write them down before I get too old and forget. But I think you said it, the energy on Broadway. I miss the feeling of when you first moved to town or like the very first time you visited here and you felt that energy. It was like Christmas morning as you're like when you're a kid. It's hard to get that first time feeling back when you've done it for so long and you kind of get burnt out on it.
Yeah.
But there is like a really special energy downtown.
Yeah. When was the first time that you came up here?
Oh, I think I was a kid the very, very first time. It was like on a field trip. We went to Opryland. I fell in love. And then I was in college when I came again as an adult. And I was like, I absolutely have to be here. And I feel like I kept visiting more and more frequently. And then the last time was during CMA Fest right before I moved. And I was like, I'm done. I went home and quit my job after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something in the moment. It doesn't feel that scary, but looking back, it's kind of like, what the fuck were we doing?
What the hell did we do? What no we plan.
No plan. Just moving down here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that jump when you look back was scary, but in the moment we wanted it so bad that we're like, this is just what we have to do.
And it's a city of dreamers. You're surrounded by that energy, though. And a lot of people that work in the bar industry also have a dream. And it's okay to have a day job and a dream, which I feel like has been the hardest learning part for me over the last couple of years, is you can have something that pays your bills, and then you can have something that fuels your passion as well.
Yeah. So what is your title at Y'all?
On-air personality.
On-air personality. Yeah. But there's so much more than just – it's a lot more.
Yeah.
Especially at, like, a startup station and the role that you've played. You're wearing so many different hats over there.
No, totally.
So what is a day in the life of Taylor Stanton? Like, you go clock in. What is a day for you kind of look like?
Every day is different. Usually we have artist interviews.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Answer it.
Let me mute that real quick. Sorry about that.
Oh, good. You can answer it.
No, I'll call him right back. Shout out my man Bradley. Bradley Jordan. Call him right
now. Sorry, Bradley Jordan. Go ahead and answer it.
On a pod, we'll call.
I met Bradley a long time back in the day.
Yeah, he's the man. We'll call you right back. There we go. Sweet. But yeah, it's like there's just the radio thing, because it was like when I was doing radio, I started out as an intern and then was on the street team and then went from the street team to doing overnights, like the voice tracking, which I'm like, so cool, I get to be on air. And then to covering shifts and then having my own weekend shift and then swing manning, which is like morning shows out, I'm in. Afternoon shows out, I'm in. You find yourself, it's a grind. Like the radio grind. What has been the biggest adjustment for you? Because you have, I think the hospitality thing prepares you for it.
Yeah.
Very, very well.
I think just learning the ins and out of the industry would probably be the biggest like learning curve for me, is because it's a whole new industry. But I mean, I love it. I love talking to the artists, and it's not a 9-to-5. We're always going to concerts and events and covering different things. We're doing on location radio broadcasting, and it's just a lot of networking, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
But I love being able to be a champion for other people and other people's music too. That's a lot of fun. And I don't know if you're familiar with like 80s country, but T.G. Shepherd, T. Graham Brown, like these guys that we interview have Grammys, like multiple number ones, more than you and I can even count on one hand.
Yeah.
Like T.G. Shepherd told me a story about when he met Elvis in an alley when he was homeless when he was 16. And Elvis was like, why don't you just come back to my place, made him a peanut butter and banana sandwich, and then was like, I want to help you with your career. And then Elvis became like one of his best friends. So just being able to hear stories like that. And like, I've asked them, what's the best advice that Elvis ever gave you? And Elvis says, you can't have an ego or you'll never survive in this business. And if Elvis Presley didn't have an ego, like, why should you or I have an ego?
Yeah.
So I just feel like I'm learning so much from the people around me that I'm getting to be exposed to, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
at
the
all.
Stories and giving them a platform, because radio was obviously an even bigger thing back then, but there wasn't this, there's so many different outlets now through radio to get somebody's story told. And absolutely. You get to do that right now.
I think it's important to share that music too, to the next generation. I mean, they don't make songs like that anymore. There's incredible music being made, but there's this fixation that we all have with 90s country, and there's a reason for it. It's just because the instrumentation, the storytelling, it was just, I love it.
Yeah. And it's like right now there's a revival going on through folks like May Estes, through our boy Zach Top, through Riley's doing it a bit, Wyatt McCubbin, like there's so many, the old Hickory Boys, there's like this 90s, 2000s sound, like stuff always kind of comes back around, and right now we're at that 90s, 2000s, like entering Rascal Flatts, but like still tribute to like the Mark Chestnuts and that Joe Diffie's and that style of sound that's in the mainstream.
All the guys we play.
Yeah, all the guys that you play, it's like everybody that's kind of popping right now grew up on that as well. And they're making music that sounds like that. It is such a tribute to it.
It is. And I mean, even what you do is so important. Podcasting, huge. I mean, I think that that single-handedly was half of our election coverage this year, not to go political, but you just have such a platform, is what I'm saying, to reach the youth of today.
Yeah, it's the way that it's like, I studied that when I was in college. I was a digital media, like communications major, similar to yourself. Is that what you were studying at Southern?
Journalism and communications. Yeah.
So it's like you study like how different media platforms have an impact on different things in the world, like current events. And it's like 2008 was the beginning of like Facebook and social media, and Obama did a great job with that. And then social media has played a role in 2012 and 2016 and 2020. And now it's like 2024. It's more important to be on a Rogan or a Theo or something like that than to be on the traditional media. Like, because anybody can access it. Yeah. All you need is one of these or a computer like what's over there, and you can listen to it anywhere.
And you can still edit podcasts, but I feel like you get the full story.
Yes.
Versus like a 5-second clip on, you know, the news.
Yeah, and especially like the way that Rogan and Theo.
They're my favorite. Guys,
yeah, because they're just so conversational. You know, and they have their little bits, and they're comedians, but they're also very serious when they're interviewing people.
Yeah.
So how would you say your interview style kind of is? Because I try to keep it like conversational, but I also love when I don't know a person and I'm just going off a sheet that a publicist or a label will send, and I get to know somebody, and it's like you ask those few questions to start, and then once you crack that shell, it turns into the conversational thing.
You are very conversational. So
I try my best.
I'm getting used to being in the guest seat over here.
Yeah.
My interview style, I feel like going into it, I was like trying to study. I mean, I always study my artists, but I felt like it was more of like planned out questions. And then now it's evolved into more just conversational. Yeah. Like you said, I feel like doing it a little while, you kind of learn that it's just, you're just talking to the other person across from you. I would almost say mine's kind of therapeutic. Like I have people tell me they're like, I feel like I just left a therapy session, because I'm like, if you could go back to talk to yourself at 16, like what would you say? And like I ask stuff like that, but just because I want to get to know kind of why people are the way that they are in a way. I don't know.
No, that's great. I love that style, and I love the asking somebody, what would you tell yourself?
What would you tell yourself,
like, with
Matt?
What you know now, what would you tell that kid that first picked up a guitar, or that person that was trying or having so much trouble writing their first couple songs to now you have a fucking Grammy.
Like,
it's cool.
Yeah.
To tell that, to do that storytelling. What were you like growing up?
What were you like growing up?
Yeah. I'm going to really put you in the guest chair.
I'm in the hot seat. I felt like I was very outgoing, always singing, forcing my family to watch me sing. Very sensitive. My dad worked in the industry. So Tracy Lawrence, shout out, actually gave me my first guitar.
My dad
was out on the road with him one weekend, and he was like, my daughter wants to learn. And he goes, actually, just give her this one. The one he had just played on stage.
Wow.
And I still never play it. It's still in a case.
Yeah.
But it was always just a dream that had been placed on my heart. I didn't know what direction I wanted to go to. I just loved music, and I knew that one day I wanted to, you know, when you're in a small town, you're like, I have big dreams and I want to move away one day. And I actually didn't do that until, like I said, I had graduated college, and then I was like, I just had like a midlife crisis, I guess, at 24, and was like, I need to get out of here.
Yeah. What was Baby Taylor singing? Like, what songs? Like,
Shania Twain, Conway Twitty. Okay. I used to duet with my dad, Conway Twitty. Leanne Rimes, Faith Hill, Mississippi Girl was my shit. I mean, Mississippi.
That makes sense. See, I was a big Tim McGraw guy, and it's funny. I was just back up with family. My sister just got married this last weekend, which was a lot of fun. And I
your
got
sister?
To, my sister did, okay. Yeah. I got to introduce my girlfriend to a lot of my family and everything. And my grandma was like, you know, I have all these pictures and videos of Matthew singing Tim McGraw songs when he was 4 years old.
We need to see him. Put what a...
I know, I don't know where they are. I'm kind of scared to find them, but I don't have them on here.
What's your favorite Tim McGraw song?
Oh, geez. According to my grandmother, in 1999 and 2000, I was a big I Like It, I Love It guy. Mm-hmm. Big Where the Green Grass Grows guy. Like that. I remember that first Greatest Hits album where he's like wearing the red shirt and got the black hat.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple Faith Hill songs on there too, you know? But yeah, that was my first concert too.
I love Tim McGraw. I remember seeing him.
And it was back when like McGraw was doing, he was doing the Eric Church thing where it was like no openers, but he played for like 2.5-3 hours. Mm-hmm. And then he was partying like Wallin. You know, like back in the day, which Tracy Lawrence was like part of that crew too. Like the 90s country guys threw down.
Oh my God. Thank God they didn't have Snapchat or TikTok or anything like that. I mean, yeah, they were going hard and it wasn't all over Instagram the next day.
Yeah. And it's like that was kind of what launched, like catapulted country into that era, into where it's at now. Like you have like Garth doing Central Park. You have like Chesney mm-hmm. being one of the first guys in the stadiums, those famous Alan Jackson, George Strait shows, to now where we have mainstream country artists. It's like a given that you can go see Morgan or Zach Bryan or mm-hmm. Combs or 10 years ago, FGL or Luke Bryan or Al Dean in a stadium.
Yeah.
You know, and those guys were at the forefront of that.
I love like seeing these guys doing so, and shout out to Morgan for winning Entertainer of the Year.
Finally,
he's incredible. Finally. But that's just another example of Morgan grew up on the Tim McGraws and the stuff that we're talking about, and you can almost hear that in some of his earlier stuff. But Tim McGraw, going back to that, my next 30 years. Do you not feel so old thinking about that? Because I remember being a child in the back seat listening to my next 30 years by Tim McGraw, thinking, "Oh, 30 sounds so old," and then now you know, I hit that. So
you just hit 30?
And we're not going to talk about it.
I just hit 30 in I'm going to be hitting 30 in January.
Oh.
So yeah, I haven't thought about that. My next 30 years
will be the best years of your life.
We're right fucking there.
Yeah, well, something about when you turn 30, which I'm older than 30 now, but it makes you think about your whole life.
Yeah, and there's so many of those songs, like you think about like Tracy Lawrence, like Time Marches On. Like,
yeah.
That storytelling song, and you look back and everybody's got those moments, whether it's exactly what he's talking about in that song, but just looking back and just seeing how people's lives and how families kind of progress.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I love speaking of Tracy Lawrence and all those crazy stories. Like my dad will tell me the craziest stories from Tracy and Toby and stuff, and he was telling me about like the time that Tracy married a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. It was a very brief marriage, but Toby Keith told him, like, he was like, "Man, if you want to, like, I'll cause a scene and we can blow out of here. If you're having second thoughts, if you're having cold feet." I'm like, man, just to like be a fly on the wall and to like hear that conversation between Toby Keith and Tracy Lawrence. It's just, I love those guys.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, who are some of your favorites that you've gotten to interview? Who was like your first one with y'all? Do you remember your first one?
My very first interview with y'all was a songwriter, Bobby Fischer. He wrote Goodbye Says It All, Black Hawk, and he had a bunch of Call Me Twitty. He had a bunch of great cuts. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
So what was that like, your first one? Were you nervous?
I was nervous. But then after that, it was like riding a bike, and you kind of just get back on it. I actually haven't interviewed Tracy. I would love to. I would love to interview Faith Hill. She's a great one. And I would love to interview Shania as well.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
So how does it work as far as like the interviews? Like, are you reaching out? Is that a program director thing?
At first I was kind of reaching out, but now people are coming to us, which is great.
Isn't that the best feeling?
It's the best feeling. And it also, it's kind of like, oh, I don't want to say no. Like, I feel bad, because we do interview a lot of new artists as well for our website, because I do want to make sure that we're still promoting the next generation of music. We're just not going to play it on the air, but we'll totally interview anyone and put it on our website and all that stuff. So yeah,
that's awesome. That's really cool. And it's like, how have you found that it is, because radio is in such a different place now. What's it like being at a startup? Like, you have stations that have been around for a long time. You guys are Midwest Communications, so, like, yeah. you're part of a bigger family.
Now you've done your homework.
Succeeds. Oh, yeah, no, I know the different companies and stuff.
Well, we used to be a rap station, basically.
Wow, big format change.
Yeah, huge format change. And they changed in June of last year, and then I came on board this past February. So it was a little under a year that they had flipped. So it was kind of, you got to retrain everyone, you know, as they're surfing through the radio dial. They're like, oh, wait, what is that?
Yeah. Did you have people that were like, where's the rap? Where's my Tupac? Where's my Usher?
Not really. People have been loving it. We've been told that Kenny Chesney loves our station. Oh, shout out.
That's cool.
We interviewed Terry Clark the other day. She said she loves the station. Cause I mean, we're making a money, honestly. Yeah. Like we're playing their hits every single day that a lot of the other stations only play currents.
Yeah.
So it's been an uphill battle, but it's been good. Like getting people to know about us. Cause once they do, they love it. So it's just a matter of getting the word out. I went to my first CRS country radio seminar.
Isn't that an awesome,
that was really thing. Cool. Yeah.
And it's like, you get to be, it's probably unique being at a Nashville-based station at that, because everybody from all over the world comes in.
Oh, yeah. And we got to hear from incredible label heads, you know, like Chris Lacey of Warner and just Sony. Everyone had like a panel that they would give their input on radio and streaming. And it was really motivating, too, because it all connects together. I'm not going to try to re-say everything that they said.
No,
you know better than me. But basically, like, whatever streams the best, you know, they'll take that data and that's what they'll send to radio. And it ends up getting them a number one on radio and vice versa. So radio and streaming still very much go together and complement each other.
Yeah. Do you guys play? You guys probably, since it's mostly like a recurrence or like has that throwback element to a station, you guys probably get to play quite a few deep cuts, right? Or is it just the hits? Like,
oh no, deep cuts. And sometimes album cuts are the best ones, I think. Yeah. But we don't play, we play a ton of it. Name a song from the 80s, 90s. I'll tell you if we play it.
Jeez, I'm trying to think of like one that's not like a hit. I'm just gonna pull one up randomly.
Yeah, pull one up randomly
and see if you play.
My favorite game to play is Name That Tune, 80s, 90s, because I'm like, I got it.
Let's see. Let's go to a random. So you guys probably one of the few stations that plays like Keith Whitley, even, right?
Oh my god, yeah, I love Keith Whitley. He's probably, gosh, I keep saying he's my favorite to every person, but I genuinely love them all. My top five favorite country songs, Don't Close Your Eyes by Keith Whitley is definitely in there.
Yeah. Honky Tonk Heart?
I don't know. Really.
You don't know? That's a Keith Whitley. That's like an end of the album one. Let me see. There's probably like random, like Mark Chestnut, like all that kind
of
stuff.
We play a ton of Mark Chestnut. We do play a ton of Keith Whitley, but I don't think that we play that one.
Yeah, he's still putting out like.
We play a ton of Randy Travis. Travis flipped the switch on our station. So the first time that we played a country song, it was Randy Travis.
That's cool.
Forever and Ever, Amen. And he came in the station. I wasn't there, but we have pictures, autographed guitar. So that was really cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
We play like Hard Rock, Bottom of Your Heart, Randy Travis. We play Mark Chestnut, Heard It in a Love Song.
Oh, so you guys will stretch to all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you guys do Christmas stuff this time of year?
We will dabble in it.
See, I worked at a station that they've actually already switched. They switched like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they become Jersey's Christmas station. And it is non-stop Christmas. So it was like, I was at a adult contemporary station. That was the last station I worked at. I had a country show in college, which is where I got to have like Morgan and Combs and all those guys come on as they were starting out. But with it being an adult contemporary station, we're big with like nurses, school bus drivers, dentist offices, like all that. So it's like soccer mom radio, you know? So It switches to the holidays and
did ratings dip?
No, ratings go up. Ratings go up because everybody in Central Jersey knows that they're playing we're the Christmas station.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes up and we would do like a big like toy drive, and then I would go to collect the toys from like the different places that we had like the things set up, and they would dress me up like an elf. I was Matt the Magical Christmas Elf, or Magic Matt the Christmas Elf.
Magic Matt.
Yeah, you know, it was like when Magic Mike was a thing, yeah. And they were like pimping me out to all the soccer. Yeah, I used to go to like jewelry stores, like all this.
You need
shit.
To bring that back.
Oh, I can't do that now. I'm in Nashville too. It's a whole different game down here.
It's so
you know?
Funny that it makes. I was watching a movie last night on Netflix with Chad Michael Murray, and it's called The Merry Gentleman, and he like does like some type of male review strip show to help raise money to save this bar, like the typical Hallmark movie. But it literally sounds like you, Matt.
Yeah,
it
was. Yeah, it was. It was odd. We did the closest I got to one of those things was I worked. We had like, so do you guys have other stations like in your off in your
yeah.
building and stuff?
We have Jack FM and then Mix 92.9. Okay. So they're all in the same. Yeah.
So cool part about Jack FM, I worked with a guy who they named Jack FM after.
His really?
Jack Myatt, and he was with CBS back in the day when they made that switch, and he was the one that programmed all the Jack FMs.
I didn't
like,
even
way
know
back
that.
When, which was cool. Yeah, it's a
you taught me something.
Random fact. Yeah, that was what was cool about being in like being in Jersey was a lot of the people that I worked with. Like my first boss, her name was Jody Bastillo, and she was the promotions director, and she was one of Howard Stern's first promotions directors.
Oh, wow.
So like she used to work with Howard, and like people that worked at like Light FM and Z100 and all these like mega Hot 97, like all the mega stations yeah. in New York. As the people got older, they would shift to Jersey and go from Market 1 to like Market 41 or whatever Central Jersey was. But yeah, the Christmas stuff was wild. And the closest I got to like, you talk about like the mail review thing, I wasn't dancing, but we had in our cluster, it was like Jersey was like one cluster. So we had us and an AM station that was like weird talk radio and like high school sports and then Rutgers football and like college sports and all that stuff. Then we had a rock station to the north, WDHA, and then we had a rock station that was like the Jersey Shores rock station. It was called The Rat, and they were fucking wild.
I bet. Were you living over there and working on the air?
So my family was
there. I guess we were young.
Yeah, so I graduated college in 17, and I worked there from 16 to up until right when I moved here. So I was there for like 2 years, but The Rat in Belmar was just like, you know, like you guys have like a prize wheel and like all that shit, right?
Yeah.
So it's like we would have like a prize wheel or like cornhole or like Plinko or whatever. But The Rat, their prize thing, it was a fish tank and it had a shot glass at the bottom. And you had to drop a quarter into the shot glass. And that was how you got a prize. And it was like the rock station that yeah. would do like the calendar girls and all that. So I did one event for them. And they sent me to a place called Delilah's Den, which I'll let you know.
Delilah's Den.
Yeah, they sent me to a gentleman's club for my one event that I did with The Rat, and I sat out there with the thing, and
need photos.
It was something. It was a wild time, but it was fun getting to do like all the different events, and yeah. there's just like an energy to radio.
Well, I have a question for you now, because what made we're all in radio, Mr. Big Dog over there. You quit your job, moved to Nashville to work door security. What was the deal?
So I was trying to get I had a friend, Ashley, who works over at, she actually works at Riser House now mm-hmm. on the promotions team over there, but she was the promotions director at Big 98. And then I knew a guy, John Shambi, through a few different people.
I know John, yeah.
Yeah, John was running, at the time it was Nash FM 103.3. Now mm-hmm. it's, I think, Your Country 103.3 or whatever. So I've been emailing with him, and I didn't have the experience to get on with one of those stations. Because I was trying to do like what I was doing up at Magic, you know? Mm-hmm. It was like, I come down here, I'll grind, make the low wages that come with being a street teamer, and maybe I can get some voice track shifts yeah. or something. And my plan was to bounce and do that. That was my plan. And that part never happened. I think I did like one or two events for Ashley, like outside of Nissan Stadium, but I never got in. And that's when I started doing the podcast and started doing the round. And then mm-hmm. Gary and Charlie scooped me up, and then I was with Trey, and now I'm...
You made your own way.
Now I'm half a raised rowdy. Yeah, and I miss the microphone a lot. And that was the biggest thing that I missed when I moved down here was I was like, fuck.
Like live events or like this?
Like this, like live events. I didn't really do as many live events back in Jersey. I definitely learned how to do more of that down here. But I missed like the interviewing artists mm-hmm. and the doing the, and it's like, when you're doing like live interviews, they're only a couple minutes.
Yeah.
This is way more long form. I can do what the fuck I want, which is nice. Rules. You know, it's like no rules, but you still have to have like that kind of structure because we'll do live podcasts at a lot of these festivals that we go to.
Yeah.
And we'll be in front of a crowd and we'll have XYZ artists like at our tent. We'll tell everybody to come by. And it's like I have that remote kind of experience. But yeah, I kind of had to carve out my own path.
Mm-hmm. It's almost better for you this way because you're basically your own boss and you can do, the sky's the limit for you.
Yeah, and I would have been so low on the totem pole. Not that I was high on any totem pole at Whiskey Row, you know, I was a security guy, but I was able to make my money doing that. But it's like I would have been with the way that cuts go. Mm-hmm. And that's what's nice about being with like a new station and having the traction that you guys are having with y'all. Like it is, you're in such a good spot because there's so much downsizing and these bigger companies like your iHearts, your Entercoms, or I think they're Odyssey now. Like all these different companies are downsizing so much because they bought so many stations like 30 years ago and didn't realize all that you need to maintain. Just such radio is such an interesting thing in that regard, but it's like you're in such a good spot to where you guys are thriving.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are only going up.
Yeah, we go. We're the little engine that could. You know, I mean, we're all across Middle Tennessee. I'm the only one, you know, my brand manager, Ron, he's on air occasionally, but we have a very small team, you know, our producers, our sales team, but it's all right here in Nashville. So hopefully we'll be in more markets soon.
Yeah.
Can't reveal too much, but that would be great. But you said it best when you said I missed the microphone. Same.
Yeah.
Same. That's why I was like, I missed the microphone. It's time to make a change.
Yeah. And it was cool to like, it was obviously got to experience a lot of cool things being at Whiskey and being on the road. And towards the end of my time on the road with Trey had me, I was tour managing for him and I was selling merch, but he would have me like introduce him before the show. So I'd go out on the crowd and like hype him up, like what I do at the festivals now, which is really cool. But it was like, as soon as I started doing that, I'm like, fuck, I shouldn't be on the road with anybody. I need to be doing this and working with a company that's doing this.
Was that a hard decision for you?
It was. Well, Trey knew that I wasn't built to be a tour manager. I just couldn't. Mm-hmm. I couldn't give him and his team exactly what he needed, you know, and the personality thing being so strong. I needed, like, I was missing rounds. I was missing a lot by being out there. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm not the most detailed person. And you need a detailed person that stays calm when the van breaks down at 1 a.m. in bumfuck Arkansas, you know, like you need that. And I had to learn how to do that and everything, but no, everything happens for a reason, you know,
absolutely.
Just like what was it like for you leaving the Whiskey Row family? Like
bittersweet, but you know, I think that we each have a passion and a purpose. And like I said, making small steps and conscious decisions that support your overall vision, which it sounds like you've done. You have detours, but still you're doing what you want to do. Yeah. Which Whiskey Row was a lot of fun. I met a lot of people. Yeah.
Those Christmas parties were fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. A couple hangovers. But I think what we both enjoyed the most of Whiskey was the music.
Yes.
And the entertainment aspect of it. And so now we just get to do more of that.
Yeah.
Which is great.
It was like that. And it's like you get Nashville as a whole is a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's when you take those first couple trips home after moving here, you have that FOMO. Like, oh fuck, I don't want to miss out on this. I don't want to miss out on that. We're past that now. You and I have been down here a long time, so we're past that. But it's like even working on Broadway is like a bubble. Working in a specific bar is like a bubble. You know,
it's a bubble, a comfort zone bubble too.
Yeah, it's a comfort zone bubble, and you get into a routine, and it's just it gets you. Mm-hmm. You know.
I like building things from the ground up, though. Like, we both started at Whiskey, you know, when it opened. And so we got to grow with it and help build a team.
Yeah.
Same thing that you're doing here. You're kind of building it from the
same thing you're doing at y'all.
Exactly. Yeah. Which that's what I like about it. That's appealing to me. I like being, you know, one of the first few people in this role and with this brand because you can build it together.
Yeah. It's exciting. So what is on the horizon as far as that you can reveal with y'all?
With
coming up towards the end of your first year.
Yep. It's been a good year. We're going to have a podcast
starting
soon.
Hell yeah.
So I think I can say that. Love to be in more markets, maybe a music festival one day. a lot in store. I just can't really reveal.
Yeah, there's only so
can't
many
really
things,
reveal that much.
So
yeah,
many, there's only so many things you can talk about outside of the meeting room.
Yeah, yeah, you know? But it's great. And then for me personally, just writing as much as I can, songwriting. I feel like I have two parts of myself. I have the media personality, and then also I love telling stories. I love writing music, and I love making music. So whatever those two want to collide, that's on the up and up, I guess. What about you?
I mean, we're just, it's been a busy year for us too. You know, it's like, we're looking back, we got to do a lot. We hit a lot of the goals that we wanted to hit, and now we're making our business plan for next year. And just found out about another festival we're going to go to. Sounds like we're gonna be going to Oklahoma for the first time.
Oh, that's
which
exciting.
I've been out on the road, but it'll be cool to like get the Raised Rowdy branding out in Red Dirt Country. Haven't been to Texas or Oklahoma as Raised Rowdy, so be cool to
we gotta
do
collab
that.
Somehow. We gotta do something. Like a 90s night or something
a
like that.
A 90s night would be sick. Mm-hmm. You know, we have that parking lot in Midtown in the summer.
Oh yeah.
We do have that Losers parking lot. We've been doing events there. We do 10 events a month right now at the Duck Blind at Riley's new spot.
That's insane. And how many people are on your team?
It's me, Nick. We have Danny, who kind of runs our merch department. And then we have like Victoria and Chloe and Dusty and Ashlyn, who help us with selling merch. And then we have Ike. We have Trey Bonner. And then like other content guys that'll fill in. And then we have three other podcasts within the network. Like we have Sam, who runs our blog. He runs our Rowdy Alternative stuff, which is more like, I like to say, like Cobro, like Red Dirt Rock kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So like he's had like Treaty Oak on the podcast, a lot of the guys in like the Co-Wetzel world, Austin Mead, all those dudes. And he runs our blog for us right now. And then we have like, that's not as big of a team as it should be. That's kind of the next year goal, is to grow to where we can have a team, you know?
Delegate a little.
Yeah, exactly. Because it wears you out. Nikki and I are just always running.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the music festivals and just being on the road is exhausting.
Yeah, being on the road and then events. Like, we got one tonight. We got one tomorrow. We got
one
Sunday.
Do you guys have tonight?
Tonight we're doing Outside the Round, which was formerly In the Round. That's the one that I've been running since
a while.
September of 2019 at Live Oak. Yeah, that was when we started that. Yeah, we're doing one tonight with our buddy Sawyer from Country Liberty. It's a Canadian lifestyle brand. So we're doing an all-Canadian takeover, which we found is like a cheat code for whenever there's an American holiday, get all your Canadian friends to come and play because they're all in town.
I've got a couple Canadian friends, yeah.
Yeah, so we're doing that tonight. Then we got Duck Blind tomorrow, which I'm interested to see how Thanksgiving Eve at a bar is.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be the biggest party night of the year.
I know.
We'll see.
We'll see what it's like in Nashville. It should be fun.
I'm going to Jelly Roll tonight. So maybe I'll stop by your round after.
Have you seen a Jelly Roll show before?
I've seen him at different things. So I'm at the CMAs, different radio events that I've been to. But I haven't seen like a Jelly Roll on tour. Okay. Have you?
So yes, many times.
So it's gonna be good.
Oh yeah, so I've seen him headline multiple festivals. I've seen him do like mud bog things. When I was with Trey, we would
mud
open for
bogs. Reminds me of my hometown, man. Mud bogs.
What's your hometown in Mississippi?
Poplarville, Mississippi.
Oh, I've been through I've been through there. Yeah.
Very
I know where
small.
That's. Yes, very small. Lots of chicken gizzards and all the good shit.
First of all, I love Jelly Roll. It's like a spiritual experience every time that you listen to Jelly Roll talk, because he just sounds like he's preaching a sermon, which I do feel like he'll do eventually in his life.
Yeah.
But he brings me to tears almost every time.
And again, Nashville shows are weird. Nashville shows are different. I don't think it's gonna be like that for Jelly, because Jelly's a hometown guy, and I'm sure you're gonna get all kinds of cool surprises with it. His show, I've never seen somebody, I've only seen like a few people like captivate a crowd like that much. Like Garth at Yankee Stadium was like that for me, where it's just a big sing-along. Zach Bryan was like that, where it's just kids, it's just this like, there's just this energy where it's like girls on dude's shoulders, dudes on dude's shoulders. Like, it's just crazy.
At a Zach Bryan show?
At a Zach Bryan. Zach Bryan's for the girls and for the bros.
Wow.
Like Zach Bryan.
Never been.
That I saw him at the at Rock the South and at the Auburn Rodeo. It were like 35 or 40,000 people at the Auburn Rodeo. It was crazy. But Jelly, it's like people just, like, he's the voice of his people.
Yeah.
He's the trailer park. Like you said, such an element of like, he is as much of a preacher as he is an entertainer, as he is a songwriter. Just his story.
He's humble.
Oh, he's humble. It's the message and his story of redemption and all the different lives that he's lived. You're going to, tonight will probably be, you've probably been to a lot of shows this year, I would imagine, just like I have. Tonight might be the best show of the year for you.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Deadass. I think it will be.
He definitely made me cry at the CMA Awards with Brooks and Dunn when they sang I Believe.
Yeah, tonight. And it's like there's moments of high energy and there's
Then we're going to party.
Fuck ton of pyro. And then there's moments where he'll go around and, at least at the out-of-town shows, people bring signs. Like, you know you're big when people are bringing signs to your concert. Yeah. And Jelly will usually take a few minutes in the middle of the set and read through as many signs as he can. And the signs are like, this song helped me get through this. My mother or somebody in my family just overdosed. I've been sober X amount of years or X amount of days. And he has a moment in the show where he breaks the wall down of him in the crowd. And it's just the most amazing thing.
Oh, wow. I'm going to lose it.
You're going to love it.
I love him in the best way.
Yes.
Everything he stands for. And like you said, I know you're sober, not alcohol.
Yes.
But I love how he's just so transparent about his past and how it's made him who he is today.
Yeah. It's the authenticity thing. And that's a big thing in the storytelling of the songs that you guys are playing on the station. And a big thing that I think has come around now, you know, like the bro country era was fun. We all went to tailgates and drank Fireball and looked at you were with dudes in jacked up trucks. I was with girls in Daisy
there
Dukes.
You like go.
The 2010s were a lot of fun. But right now there's just such a craving for the real shit.
Yeah.
The authenticity. And Jelly is that.
Yeah, he is. So I'm excited. You got me hyped up.
You're going to have a fucking
And your round's going to be amazing.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be fun. They're a lot of fun. It's tough to like have a super night when you do 10 of them a month. It's tough.
Yeah.
But we try to find a way to make everything special. And I'm going to Vegas for the first time next weekend.
Ooh, for what?
An FR.
Oh, my God. It's so much fun.
I've never been.
You're going to love it. I've been multiple times. I've been in Vegas and when they had it in Fort Worth, but they have this thing called Cowboy Christmas, which is like a huge expo of anything possible that you could want to buy for yourself or for your girlfriend or your family. It's just like incredible. And there's concerts, you know, who's playing out there.
So when we're out there, I mean, the list is like the weekend. I know the weekend after, like Gavin Adcock and a lot of our buddies will be playing. I think Garth is playing like four or five different nights. Like there's a bunch of different like massive names. So we're hosting an event at Losers at MGM.
Oh, sick.
Like a 7 to 10, 8 to 10 kind of slot. And I'm just excited. We're going out there with the guys that own Losers and they're going to kind of walk us around and introduce us to some people. And it'll be cool. So
I might mess around and fly out there. I mean, it just sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. It's going to be. It's going to be. And yeah, I've never been to Vegas. Nick's been quite a few times. He's a few years older than I am. So he's been out there. But it's taken me 30 years to get to Vegas. I'm excited to experience it. And I think a cheat code that I don't drink. Because I've heard if you drink, like, and our flights are early. We're flying out at 6 a.m. next Thursday. And then we've had like a 5 a.m. flight. But I don't drink, so I'm just going to drink Red Bull.
You'll be fine, but your friends, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, I've heard that the red eyes back from Vegas, you see all kinds of shit on that plane.
Yeah, but that specific week in Vegas, too, you're going to kind of feel like you're in Nashville because there's cowboy hats literally everywhere.
Yeah.
Because of the NFR.
Yeah, and it's like the real rodeo folks.
Yeah, and they throw down.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. I'm very excited to see it.
You're going to have fun. I'm having FOMO. So now I really want to come.
Well, I have FOMO the Jelly Roll show tonight. Yeah. You're going to have such a good fucking time there.
I have one more question for you because this made me think about it. What's your favorite thing about the South?
Ooh, my favorite thing about the South. Well, I love my Carolina-born girlfriend. I love my South Carolina girl and her little Tennessee daughter. But just the way that people are very like inviting and friendly, you know, it's like coming from New York or the Northeast. It's very harsh. It's very rigid. There's definitely a work ethic up there. Mm-hmm. There's a strong work ethic down here when it comes to a lot of the blue collar things. But it's like up there, like end of the day means like end of the day or like the hour. Down here, end of the day can be like end of the week. Like it's a little more chill, kind of go with it. And people are just like the way that Faith is down here and just good people. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has like there's a deeper appreciation for, I think, life in general down here because I think the quality of life's better. You know, I think that that's a big thing. But yeah, just the culture of and being an outsider and coming down. Like, mm-hmm. I remember my first time going to those southern towns with Muscadine, like going to a Hattiesburg, going to a Boaz, Alabama, going to a Tifton, Georgia, going to all those different towns. It's fun, you know. Mm-hmm. I love seeing new places, and I consider the Tennessee is like Nashville's my second home, and even the state of Alabama like my third home, just because I've spent so much time down there between Trey and Gary and Chuck. Like, I like the South a lot.
Do we really think we'll stay?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not going anywhere. My girlfriend's been here for about 10 years, and then her daughter is 6, little Charlotte. So she's got years left. But yeah, I don't think I'm going anywhere. Everybody's leaving New York anyway. Like, my family that was in New York is in Delaware now. Like, so they're inching southbound, you know? Yeah. So it's like, what's the reason? I'll go home for like a Yankees game, mm-hmm. or like something like that. But do I wish we had better bagels and pizza?
I was just about to say, you got to teach me how to make your bagels. Do you make them, or do you just buy them?
I don't know how to make them.
I remember you used to bring bagels to Whiskey Row.
Yeah, that was chaotic, because it would be, I would get off the plane and then I'd have to clock in my shift. And I'd have a big bag of bagels, and I'd tell everybody I'd
cream cheese and all.
Yes, I'd have the bagels, I'd have the cream cheese, I'd have the butter, and they'd be up in the kitchen, mm-hmm. and around that little spot where the elevator is on Charlie on the third floor. And yeah, that was my thing. Was
everybody's
the bagel
making their own bagels now? Their starter dough, their bread.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah,
you got to get into it.
I don't mess with that.
The homesteading.
I don't mess with that. I have my bagel guys. And it's funny, like,
bro, I got my bagel guys. I got a supplier.
Yeah, I go to David's or Goldberg's or Nyack Hot Bagels. I had like the way Mexican restaurants and like barbecue stands are down here. Mm-hmm. Like
Mexican.
They are.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere. Yeah. I didn't realize that until I moved down here, that there'd be fucking Mexican restaurants. We got two right there. Here in Hermitage, Old Hickory. Then we have 10 Mexican restaurants in Hermitage alone.
Yeah.
And Hermitage doesn't need 10 Mexican restaurants, but we have them.
Yeah, they're literally everywhere.
So it's like that with bagels and pizza growing up. Like, I grew up in like the suburbs, but I could walk from my house and like a 2 mile radius. I think we had like 7 pizzerias, like 7 solid pizza places, and like 5 or 6 bagel places.
Wow.
Like within walking distance. I was in the suburbs. I wasn't even in the city.
That sounds amazing. Like Italian food. And I had a bagel before I got here.
Oh, really?
A Publix bagel.
Publix bagel. All right.
They make them at the bakery.
Solid.
Not New York.
Yeah. And it's we had a place back home. My home county is Rockland County. And we had a bakery there. And it's a spot where you go in and it's like you go through and they have like all the cookies and all the Italian stuff, like all that. And then you go through this little like door and then you go in the where all the bread's like being made, and you put on a little plastic glove and you pick out what you want. You like fill the bag with your bagels right off the conveyor belt. Like,
that sounds heavenly.
And then the best part is you can take like that piece of Italian bread or that roll or that bagel. You bring it into the deli section. You pull a number. You hand them the piece of bread that you just picked. And then they'll make the sandwich for you on the bread that you just grabbed.
Where is that?
In Rockland County, New York. It's about 30 minutes outside the city.
We need to implement that here.
Yeah, but it's just everybody, every section of the country has what they do really well. Down here, barbecue, like mac and cheese as a side dish for Thanksgiving down here is awesome. We don't do mac and cheese.
Yep, I'm making it.
Yeah. Mac and cheese, biscuits, barbecue, collard greens, green beans.
Sweet potato casserole.
Yeah. Pecan pie or pecan pie, however you want to say it. Like all of that, it's done so much better down here than it is up north.
A lot of bacon, a lot of frying, a lot of butter.
And you got to have the bacon in the green beans, like when you're making it.
That's how my mama does it.
Yeah, that's how Aaron does it. That's how my girlfriend does it, and her mom does it, and everybody. Yeah, it's just different, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think Nashville's cool because you do have so many different cultures.
It's a melting pot.
Which is fun, because I don't think it was always like that, but I think we got here at the right time.
Yeah.
To where that became. So where are some of your favorite spots? Like, where does Taylor hang out
in
nowadays?
In town?
Yeah, where do you just hang out nowadays?
My house. No, I used to go out a lot, like you said. I used to frequent, you know, the Red Doors and stuff. But now I just enjoy like a really good dinner, maybe like a rooftop dirty martini. Okay. We love to go to Sunda, great sushi.
Nice.
You know, maybe do like a rooftop bar, maybe like L.A. Jackson or something like that. But my going out is like all the music events that we go to. Like tonight at Jelly Roll, I'm sure we'll go out after that. Yeah. So it's like we're always doing something.
Yeah.
So when I have a day or like a Saturday to not have anything to do, I love to just sit on the couch. And
that's what I find myself doing now too.
Yeah, you need to decompress. I feel like it's important with what we do to have that time to like reset.
Yeah, it definitely is. But then at the same time, it's like so much what we do is like on the artist discovery side, like part, like, and luckily there are a lot of, we're the thing in Midtown right now since Warden and Ryan and those guys went down the Whiskey Row. Like, we are the thing in Midtown that people come to.
And that's where I'm going to go I'm going out. Yeah,
so I get to meet all the kids because they're coming to our events. But there's something to be said for meeting those kids that just moved to town that are at Red Door, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like people coming up and wanting to be a part of our events and all the different things that we do and everything. But then it's like I have a girlfriend, she's got a daughter, and I love spending time with them too. And it's like you have to charge the social battery. Yeah. You
and
know?
As you get older, you like daytime stuff. Like, I like going to the farmer's market and hiking like, you know, like that's fun for me. But I do love a cold beer dive bar. Absolutely.
Yes.
We should go to Santa's Pub soon and sing some like 90s karaoke. Ooh. That would be so fun.
What we're doing too, on December 9th, we are doing our Raised Rowdy Christmas party. You are invited. It's an open event.
Official invite.
But I'm going to give you an official invite. Whoever wants to come, bring the boyfriend, bring whoever. We're doing it. We do it at the Rusty Nail.
Oh, the Rusty Nail.
And we do karaoke all night.
Well.
So if you're you want to sing some 90s country.
I'm going to be there.
Come and sing some 90s country.
I've been to the Rusty Nail before. You might have been there. It's been a long time.
Yeah, we do events there in the summer. We do like a cigar and whiskey event every once a month when we're there. And we used to do like McElwain Monday there with old McElwain, old sweet boy.
Yeah.
But if you want to do some karaoke,
let's do it.
That'll be the night. It'll be a lot of fun. So Y'all 106.7, when exactly are you on over there?
Y'all 106.7. So we don't have a live show. You'll hear me on the air kind of every hour talking about something that we're promoting. And you can listen online, on the app, or in your car. But I know a lot of people, if they're not from around here, I love to just turn on my app and let it play when I'm at home getting ready.
I listen to my New York sports radio, my WFAN, and I listen to it on the Alexa at my house. I'll listen to it on the radio app on my phone, like as I'm driving. And the fact that you can listen to any station anywhere, like you can build an audience around the world now with the way it is. It's not just on the radio dial. It's wherever.
Yeah, it's great. And we're always giving away free tickets. We gave away sweet tickets to the CMA Awards.
Wow.
And usually you have to like live here to win. So it's a great opportunity for some free concert tickets if you ever want to enter.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Well, sis, I appreciate you coming on here.
Thanks for having me. This was so great.
Absolutely.
And a new experience for me being on this side of the mic.
Yeah,
but
it's fun, right?
We've been talking about doing this for a while, so I'm glad that we glad that we could get it done.
Me too.
Very
me
proud
too.
Of you.
I appreciate you coming out here, and I got some more hats for you to go. Sift
more
through,
hats.
Take as many of them as you want.
I
love my new y'all hat.
This
is sick. Really, really cool. So y'all be sure to check out our girl Taylor Stanford. Check out Y'all 106.7. You can listen to it wherever you get your radio. If you're here in Nashville, be on the lookout for some great prizes, some great tickets, some great events. And stay tuned for a big 2025. It sounds like they got a lot cooking over there at the Y'all studio. So,
you want a job? You crushed it.
I mean, we can talk about that. But y'all be sure to, for more on us, visit RaisedRowdy.com. Shout out to our friends from Surfside. No bubbles, no troubles. Go surfing with us. And like I said, visit RaisedRowdy.com for more on us. For my girl Taylor, I'm Matt Barilla. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. Never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks up my sleeve. They usually just make them leave.